Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Intern.cast show, the show where we, the hosts, much like the features we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. That's right, all the other critics out there are Duran Duran, and we are Milli Vanilli.
I'm Leslie. Blame it on the rain.
I'm Leslie, your host, and here are my butt-tard co-hosts.
Peter, are you ready, brother?
And I'm Davey. What the fuck was that?
Davey, are you ready, brother?
I'm not ready anymore. I was ready.
That's my impression of that wrestler guy, you know.
Wrestler guy?
The one and only wrestler guy, you know. I'm not going to bother telling you his name, because you should just know it. You know the guy, the one. What's his fucking name?
Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan. Fuck y'all.
Did you actually not know his name? I thought you were doing a bit.
That was my bit, brother.
Did you forget?
That was my bit.
Did you
bit.
Forget his fucking name?
Fuck no, I don't know. I don't forget my name.
Were you too busy doing a bounty? I forgot your name.
That's right, everybody. We are doing a triple feature this week. We will be covering GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. I will be covering the Nobody Speak documentary. And Davey is covering
Shimmer Lake.
Something about Shimmer Lake. That sounds like a horror movie.
It's not.
Oh. Well, it sounds like it'd be a good one.
Well, we'll get into that.
If it was a horror movie, could it do much to change into a horror movie?
I mean, it would need to change, like, the jokes, definitely.
Well, why don't you just tell us what you've been up to and give us your review with
okay.
that.
Okay. So, before I get into Shimmer Lake, just a few things that I've been keeping up with. I've been watching more American Gods, and it's still a piece of shit.
Somewhere Elliot is pissing his pants.
Good. I'm just going to keep mentioning it, just so that eventually when Elliot comes back, we can fight more.
If you continue to mention it, does that mean I can continue to mention Robobot?
Yes, that's a fair trade.
Nice, nice. Super Mansion, Season 2, it's awesome.
Super Mansion, Season 2, only on Crackle.
Damn, Crackle.
But no, I watched two movies today, actually, that were both wild experiences in very different ways. The first one was Smurfs The Lost Village. Huh. Which...
Is this an actual Smurfs movie?
Yes.
Like one of the ones that's been recent in the past couple years? Or is has nothing to do with
it? No, it just came out like a couple months ago. Like it's on like digital download now.
But is it one of those official Smurf movies? Like, you know, with you know, the ones that have been out
recently?
Like
it just came out in theaters.
Reboot?
Like a few months ago. And it's bad.
Oh.
And the thing is...
Is it Chipmunks the Squeakquel bad?
No. But it's Chipmunks the first one bad.
Oh, okay.
And I was watching it, I was like, kind of shocked, I was like, I don't hate this. This is actually kind of okay, and I was confused as to why I was, like, kind of getting into, like, the voice acting, and the colors, and the animation, and a few of the jokes made me kind of laugh. And then at the end, they do the fucking animated dance number.
You know what? I kind of have just given up on that at this point. Like, I don't really care anymore. It's always at the end, and it's not even a big fucking deal. Like, usually you can get out of your seat and, like, kind of pretend you're dancing your way to the exit and beat the crowd. It's not even a big deal anymore.
Yes, but that doesn't excuse the fact that it's so annoying. It's so fucking tedious to listen to and to sit through.
What was the song that the Smurfs danced to?
I don't remember. I watched this movie 4 hours ago, and I don't remember the song.
Wow.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with here.
All right. Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with that, man. I would have taken the bullet for you.
Thank you.
I love me some Smurfs, man. Smurfs was the shit when I was a kid.
Smurfs is not the shit for me. But the other thing that I saw that was very wild is a movie called Buster's Malheart. Have either of you guys heard of this?
Okay.
No.
It's
no.
It came out recently, and it's got Rami Malek as a hotel concierge, but also a mountain man in the middle of the woods, but also a guy stranded on a boat. And it jumps between those three things, and it's a giant mindfuck of a movie, and you're basically just trying to figure out what's going on and where things take place in the timeline. And it's a movie that doesn't fully connect, I think, the first time you watch it. Like, I watched it, and when I was done, I said, I don't know, I'm somewhere between, like, a 4 and an 8.5 on the movie. Like, it was an insane experience, and I want to watch it, like, 3 more times and then I might know if it's
that sounds good. Like the rating equivalent of like a grower, not a shower. It's like I'm a fool. Whoa! Did the mic pick that shit up? Did you hear that, Davey?
I heard it. What the hell was that?
That was a motherfucking lightning bolt.
Jesus.
And now our dog is having a cry fit.
Oh no. Don't be sad, dog.
But like, that's like the rating equivalent of like a grower, not a shower. Yeah. You're like, I'm a 4.5 when I'm not excited, but I'm like an 8.5 when I am excited. There's no middle ground, man.
I mean, there's definitely middle ground. It doesn't just go from one to the other. It's not a fucking pogo stick. I don't know what your dick does, but it has more than one setting.
Not everyone can be, you know, blessed like, who am I kidding?
I don't like the way that sentence goes. But no, real quick, let's talk about Shimmer Lake. So Shimmer Lake is a movie that was released on Netflix about a week and a half or so ago. And it stars Rainn Wilson, Benjamin Walker, Wyatt Russell, John Michael Higgins. Like, it's got a good cast of people. Adam Pauly, a good cast of usually very funny actors in this crime drama that is told in reverse.
Okay. That's so, like, that was such a cool thing when it was done the first couple times, and now it's kind of really annoying. Yeah. Is it annoying?
It's not annoying, and then it is annoying, and then it kind of isn't again. Because it's not... It basically takes place over, like, 5 days, and the movie begins on Saturday, and then it goes Friday, and then Thursday, and so on and so forth. And it's a really short movie. It's, like, 83, 84 minutes long. But it just... Even in that time, it loses a lot of its muster. The story is Rainn Wilson and a couple other guys, they're in the fallout of a bank robbery in this small town.
Did they rob the bank?
Yeah, they robbed the bank. And
okay.
Rainn Wilson's brother, Benjamin Walker, is like a cop in the town who got shot in the middle of the bank robbery. And he's trying to find his brother and trying to figure everything out. And there's some other things that are happening. It's not very well put together, but the actors are giving it their all, and they are inherently charismatic enough that in the few moments that the movie does try to be funny, it does work. And you can see that there's talent.
What kind of funny is it? Just by bank robbery alone, it sounds like it's a dark comedy. Is it dark humor, or is it just kind of more slapstick?
It's kind of like a very diluted version of like Coen Brothers style humor, where it's dark humor, but it's more kind of like quirky, funny, dark.
Okay, so maybe like the Lady Killers, Coen Brothers.
Yeah, it's like the Lady Killers. It's not as terrible as the Lady Killers.
I actually like the Lady Killers. I know that's like blasphemy, but I laughed. I don't know what to fucking say. I laughed.
How can a Coen Brothers movie with Tom Hanks and J.K. Simmons be bad? I don't know how that happened.
Because it's a remake? I don't know. That might have something to do with it.
I don't know. The Coen Brothers every now and again can just fuck everything up, because every now and again they'll be like, oh, we made the Lady Killers. Oh, we made Hail Caesar. Oh, we made No Country for Old Men. Like, every now and again, they just really fuck up.
No Country for Old Men's considered bad? I haven't seen it, but I always thought that's one of the...
It won Best Picture like, every single.
Oh,
it's a beloved movie.
Why are you insinuating that it's bad?
Because it is.
Oh. Okay.
It's a really bad movie.
You know what? That is a 10 out of a 10 defense, sir. I concede.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, okay, so, I mean, how's the, like, the time, how's the charisma of it? I mean, a lot of comedies, especially dark comedies, really rely on just, like, the dialogue and how quickly they play off each other. Does it work? Does it not work?
It works at certain points. There are some scenes that are really well done that are not necessarily funny, but they're enjoyable to watch, and whenever there is a joke, it'll be funny. But the actual plot is so standard and traditional, and at the end when it's the big like, oh, here's the twist, here's the reason why we told the story backwards, it's not anything really that shocking. It's just like, oh, this one guy wasn't who we thought he was. That's neat.
Oh, so does it not fit the genre, like the way they decided to tell it? Is it just tedious and unnecessary?
There was really no reason to tell the story this way. You could have told it just a regular story, and then gone back to done a flashback to explain this one piece of information. The structure is really what gets in the way of this being like if it was told normally, it'd be kind of like Small Crimes. Like, it's not super well put together, but it rides on the charisma of its actors, and it rides on the fact that it's able to be a little more intense than most stuff that we're seeing in theaters nowadays, that it gets by. But with this structure, it just makes everything unnecessarily confusing and unnecessarily... You have to put more effort into the movie than the movie deserves.
Okay, well, I mean, would you have liked it better? What did you like about it?
I liked the performances pretty much all around. It's a very well shot movie, and for the first act, it's really intriguing. Like, I got really into it because the structure was compelling and at first, and it just had this entertaining kind of grip to it. But the only real reason to watch this movie by the end of it is the fact that the actors are holding this movie up like Atlas holding up the world.
You know, that makes me... I kind of want to watch it just because you said Rainn Wilson, and I really like Rainn Wilson. Like, I think he doesn't get enough chances as a leading man, but whenever he does, I've always liked it. Like, I really like The Rocker, I really like Super. Yeah.
And he has a lot of that same Super energy here, where it's just like... desperate darkness. Like, it's someone that's trying to be a good person, but clearly has no idea how to be a good person. And so, if you liked Super...
like Super.
Yeah, if you like Super, honestly, and because the movie is so short, it is worth it to see Rainn Wilson in that type of role again.
Okay, so maybe it's just a small character's piece. Maybe it's just something that he wanted to do to stretch his comedy roots a little bit while still being, I don't know, leading man.
Yeah, no, like, it is... worth a watch if that's what you're looking for. Just don't go expecting this great twisty thriller, kind of what it's been marketed as. Shimmer Lake gets 6 out of 10 Crimson Bolts.
Bolty. Bolty. Bolt girl.
I need to watch Super.
Well, see, I don't know if you remember, that movie Super, but I watched it like last year and you were watching. It's the guy from The Office and he tries to be a superhero. And you probably won't remember it, but you probably remember yourself going, "Oh my god, she just fucking raped him."
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, that was your reaction, and I was laughing so hard. Because she, like, rapes him, and you're like, "I never thought a man could be raped. She just fucking raped him."
Yeah, it's like Kick-Ass for the severely disturbed.
Yeah, it's Kick-Ass with autism.
Oh, god. All right, put that shit on the poster, I think. On that concerning note, what have you guys been up to? What have you all been watching?
I just recently watched, and this is our second review of the evening, Nobody Speak, The Trials of the Free Press. Okay. And I'm trying to get over the fact that I'm a little underwhelmed by it, because the trailer's really good and completely missells the movie. Even the, like, I'm looking at the IMDb plot here. And it's really underwhelming. It's nothing about that. It sells itself as a documentary that has to do with Hulk Hogan suing Gawker.com, which is the tabloid news site that released his sex tape. And that's what it sells itself on. And right off the bat, I'm not going to be like, "That sounds interesting." Because it's not, really. I don't really care. Yeah. But, you know, I've seen the trailer. It kind of leads to this ominous path, like, "Oh, but there's more behind the story you don't understand," and there is. But the problem is that it starts out like that, but really it turns into three mini documentaries. Okay. First, it starts out with the Hulk Hogan part, okay, and then it goes into this one part, which I actually did find way more interesting, and it talks about this billionaire casino philanthropist in Las Vegas. Who owns the Venetian Hotel. Huh. And basically, he bought out the Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is, of course, I'm born and raised in Las Vegas. I read that every Sunday, you know, mainly for the funnies and the movie times back when there wasn't internet, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. There's always been internet.
So I've even applied job-wise to the Review-Journal. I have a special place in my heart for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Mm-hmm. And basically, I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to spoil it because it's the only part that's interesting about it. Like, I can't say anything else good about it other than the fact that it's slightly interesting.
Yeah.
And that the whole thesis of the film, of the documentary, is it's about how rich billionaires are basically... taking control of the press. So with the Hulk Hogan thing, you find out that Gawker Media made a tabloid, I don't know if it's tabloid or true or false or not, but they made a article about Peter Thiel, the creator of PayPal and investor of Facebook, basically outing him as gay. Well, Peter Thiel did not like that very much. So even though he doesn't give a fuck about Hulk Hogan, he basically funded Hulk Hogan's entire lawsuit, basically making it a $10 million lawsuit, like, fees-wise. Like, he hired lawyers for $10 million, you know what I mean? And Gawker just couldn't afford those type of lawyers. So it was basically like when you're playing poker and you're just outbetted, you know what I mean? You can't win, even though you probably have the better hand. Right. You just can't because you're constantly being one-upped money-wise. So even though, I don't know about this. I don't know enough about the laws, to be honest. But even though the documentary basically says, hey, these are protected by the First Amendment, you know, free speech and the ability to talk shit about whoever you want because that's free speech, Hulk Hogan won, and by default, Peter Thiel won so much that they shouldn't have won that Gawker went bankrupt.
Right.
Okay, and then it goes to the second story, which, like I said, was the billionaire who bought out the Review Journal for the same exact reason. He didn't like the stories that they published about him, so he bought them out and fired everybody that was involved.
Dang.
Shit.
So that's the only part that's kind of interesting. And then the third act is kind of like, it's kind of like a summation of all that stuff, but having to do with Trump, because Trump is basically, he's always saying, fake news, fake news, fake news, right? And that's kind of the thesis of it, is that billionaires, again, gain power and then shut out the press, and then the press, the truth goes without being told. And like, it's a good thesis, and I really like the documentary's idea about it.
Yeah.
But it's just so scattershot. Like, the fact that it took me this long to explain how it got there is kind of the problem. Like, the two mini stories aren't connected enough to be a documentary within the same story.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Hulk Hogan has nothing to do with the Las Vegas Review Journal, but they're in the same thing together. And I wouldn't think either one of those things have anything to do with Trump, but they're in the same thing together. And I feel like it really wanted to tell a story like that, it could have focused on one of those stories, or maybe just the Trump thing in general, because it's revealed that, you know, the guy, the casino guy, helped fund Trump's campaign because they're casino buddies, right? Trump Hotel and stuff. But anyway, it's just a little scattershot, and it's not, at the end of the day, it's just not very, when I've seen a lot of, it's not very fun to watch because it's just slightly boring. And I've seen a lot of documentaries that aren't fun to watch, like Dear Zachary or maybe even Catfish a little bit, even though that's whether it's real or not. But you get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And it's just, good documentaries just have such a, to me, like, just dwindle down. I want to know more. Oh my God, this is so interesting. And then when you finally get to the end, you're like, man, I'm so glad I learned all that. Like, you know, one of my favorite documentaries is Hand on a Hard Body. I think that's what it's called. You know, but it's so not interesting to me. It's just people doing a competition to win a car. That's not interesting to me at all, but the way it's portrayed is so interesting. And this is not portrayed in a way that's interesting at all. It's just, it kind of meddles from point to point, eventually coming to a strong thesis, but without the, I don't know, validity of it. I guess because it's funded by Netflix, it's probably a good start to the Netflix documentaries. But it's just okay, you know. If anything, it kind of depressed me because I'm just so, the thesis was so strong and yet had no solution to the problem other than get rid of Trump out of the office, but it's not like that's going to happen anytime soon anyway. So I give it 5.5 sex tapes I don't want to see at a 10.
I will say, is it at least, like, angering, or, like, does it at least get, like, some form of emotional reaction? Because even if the documentary is not well done, I feel like that base concept should get some sort of reaction.
It does. It does. And that's the problem with it, is that it has really good points. It just meddles between the points in a way that is just not edited properly.
That sucks.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, it has a good thesis, and its heart is totally in the right place. I just wish it was just, it just flowed better. You know, it really needed some good editing. Like, some hard editing. Hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, speaking of wrestling, Hulk Hogan...
That was horrible.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry. I'm gonna preface this entire review with I'm not a wrestling fan. I grew up as one of those people that thought it was silly, up until like 2 years ago, when I saw my first wrestling show, and it was actually really fun. Like the chick in the anyway, we're talking about GLOW, the Gorgeous Laser Wrestling, which is basically a Netflix show, which is not. I don't even want to say loosely based, because I looked up the true story. It's nowhere near how the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling back to 1986 started.
It's based on the name of a true story.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. But my point is, like, I wasn't big into wrestling. But even one of the main characters, played by Betty Gilpin, mm-hmm. I have no idea what she's from, but she plays Debbie Egan, and... Through half the series, she's like, this is stupid. Wrestling is stupid. And then it dawns on her that wrestling is a...
Soap opera.
Yeah. And then when you think of it that way, it is so much fun.
I mean, yes. It's still stupid. I've never been someone who, like... I'm not, like, any kind of sports person, but even I look at wrestling and I'm like, that's really, really stupid.
It is really, really stupid. But as, like I just said, once you look at it as a soap opera... And you just let go of your morality and your inhibition to detect reality. It's really fun.
Let go of your morality. So, that's our review of GLOW, everybody. Good night.
No. So basically, the story is about Ruth Wilder, who is a down and out actress, quote unquote. She says that she's had some middling success, but I. Kind of think she was just lying, to be honest.
Or exaggerating. But, like, I was in a movie where you have to, like, watch the movie and stop it, and for two frames she's in the background.
Yeah. But, so she's down and out, and she gets a callback, or not really a callback, she's desperate, tells the casting director, I'm desperate, I'll take anything, who then refers her to a sort of sleazeball director played by Marc Maron.
Yeah.
And he's not even a wrestling fan either, but he's kind of on his last... ditch effort to get his movie funded, and in order to do that, which is a very, like, it was kind of an interesting story that he's not really into it, but he's giving it all because he has to in order to get his actual project funded. So she's with Marc Maron, but she also gets paired up with Debbie Egan, who used to be her best friend, but she kind of fucked her best friend over, and now they hate each other, but they have to work together. And you know what? I'm going to start off by saying this movie, sorry, series, was fucking charming.
Charming.
Y'all,
charming.
What do y'all think?
Charming.
It was charming. I was charmed.
I loved the intro, though. Like, the graphics and everything that they did for the beginning.
The title sequence. The
title sequence, yep. I freaking loved that. It was so awesome.
It was cool.
So it was just kind of like a bunch of neon lights and pretty pictures of everybody, so I
it starts
that.
Out with that, like the very first episode. There's no cold open or anything. It starts immediately with the credits, and I think that was a good choice because it totally throws you into the 80s.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Definitely,
this show is the most 80s thing that's ever 80s. Like,
no,
it lets you know right off the fucking bat that this is the middle of the 80s. Everyone's doing coke. Let's have some fun, and it.
I don't, but you make it sound like that's a detriment to that. I wasn't bothered by that at all. It didn't beat me over the head with the 80s.
It's not necessarily a detriment. I'm just saying I wouldn't go around claiming that as the best thing about the show or as an intense positive.
Hmm.
We're going to have some mixed feelings on this show.
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling that you didn't quite like this as much as I did. So why don't you take this? What's your fucking problem?
Okay, here's the thing. I watched GLOW over 2 days.
What's the thing? Okay.
And if you had asked me after the first episode, or like the second or third, hey, Davey, what do you think about this show? I would say, this show is so much fucking fun. I'm, like, it's not high art. It's silly, stupid show about wrestling, which is a silly, stupid thing. But I'm really into it. I like these characters. I like what's happening. And then I remembered something. That this show is by Jinji Kohan, who previously made Orange is the New Black. And then I got reminded, why I stopped watching Orange is the New Black. And that's because the lead character is the most uninteresting, reprehensible thing about that show. And Cohen strikes again with Glow.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah.
That's a fair point. Because she, Alison Brie, who I've had a crush on forever,
yeah,
is the worst part about this show.
Yeah.
Not because her as an actress, because I think she does a fine enough job, but her character is just...
boring.
She's kind of, yeah, exactly. She's really boring, and when she's not boring, she's a whiny bitch. Like, there's several times, like, she's desperate,
yeah,
right? The very first episode shows how fucking desperate she is. She will take any job she can.
Yeah.
She's that fucking desperate. And yet, she still complains the entire way.
She complains?
Like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Why are we doing this? This is stupid. Well, then, fuck off.
She complains, she's mean, she's pretentious, and when she's not doing any of those things, it is the most out-of-left-field cringe comedy that just... it does not work when it's just by itself.
Well, that's her shtick, though. She kind of is always... like, even in Community, she's kind of like the overzealous girl next door.
Yes, but with Community, the whole point of the show was this is this very meta, out-there thing, and they never took her overzealousness so far that it made you want to turn off the television. It feels like... because this is a comedy, but it also has a lot of dramatic elements. It's not an entirely through-and-through funny show. It feels like you take an episode of something... like, if you took, like, a Mad Men episode or something along those lines, it, like, is an entertaining drama, and stuck a scene from the Scott's Tots episode of The Office in the middle of it, you wouldn't know what to do.
I don't think... I disagree. It's nowhere near that awkward. It's not even close
it's
to that awkward.
It's pretty awkward at times. And it feels out of place.
Okay. I had a panic anxiety attack during that episode. That episode of The Office and the one where Pam and Jim go over to their place and he's like so proud that he has that one tiny TV in the corner.
Yeah.
And it's just so awkward that she's completely mistreating him, Michael Scott,
yeah,
you know?
Interesting.
Those two episodes totally gave me a panic attack, and that's the reason I never even finished The Office, okay?
Right.
But I don't think it's anywhere near that cringeworthy. It's nowhere near that cringeworthy. It's not even, like, what I did like about the show is that it was lighthearted. And the drama that is in there is so peppered in a way that it's like, it's kind of forgettable. Like, a lot of the drama plays out and then turns out just to be a long con for kind of a joke.
I've never heard the word forgettable be used as a compliment before.
Well, because I feel like it wouldn't... because that's the thing. It's a show about fucking wrestling,
yes,
which is fucking fake.
Okay? Yes.
So in order to take... like, it can have drama, but it doesn't take the drama so seriously. It's at the end of the day, it's a comedy. It's cute. It's funny.
Then it needs to be consistently funnier, because when the show works, it really, really works. Don't get me wrong. I did enjoy watching the show. Like, when Marc Maron is doing his thing, it's hilarious. But whenever it tries to do something a little more serious, I don't even... I feel like I'm in the wrong place. I feel like I'm watching a deleted scene.
I would agree with you with only one plot point. And I don't want to get into spoilers, but it involves a doctor's visit.
Yeah.
And that's the only one that I felt didn't fit. But there's another running plot point where Britt Baron, played by, Justine Biagi,
yeah,
played by Britt Baron, she's kind of like, the whole show is she's following the director around because it seems like she has a crush on him, and it turns into a drama storyline,
right,
but it ends with a joke. It has a punchline to it. So even though there's some drama there, it has a heartbeat. It has a funny element to
okay
it. So it's not that dark at the end of the day. I wouldn't even put it in drama.
I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that it's dark or that it's like a harrowing emotional experience. And you are right that some of the dramatic beats that they do have do work. Like even that plotline that you were talking about with the scene in a doctor's office, the scene that takes place there is one of the best scenes in the show, even though that plotline doesn't really work. It's just...
sure, yeah, totally.
It feels like I'm watching the snippets of a great show. And I can see that there's a great show in Glow, but it feels like I'm missing it. It feels like I'm always, like, on the wrong side of the road with this show. And I acknowledge that it's that there's a great thing in there somewhere, and I just want to find it. I want to re-edit the show together.
Man, I really disagree with you. Like, I just don't think I'm taking it as hardly as you are. I don't know. It just seemed like it had a cute story to tell, and it wanted to stay happy-go-lucky. Like, I think I might actually rewatch this again, just because I found it so charming. I was heartwarmed by it.
And I mean,
yeah. And yeah, it's got some lame plot points along the way, but I think ultimately it's kind of just an entourage piece, a crew. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. A cast
ensemble piece.
Thank you, ensemble piece. All the characters work really well together. Yeah. Even Alison Brie's character Ruth. Yeah. You know, she's definitely the odd man out of the group, but you need that. You need that in an ensemble piece. She had to be the awkward one for me to like all the other characters so much, especially Cherry Bang and her husband.
Yeah.
They were so adorable. Oh, my God. They were super cute. I loved them when they were on scene. It was so great.
And yes, all the other characters do work, but they're held together by this audience avatar that doesn't really work. And honestly, I feel like Alison Brie's performance even is kind of lackluster here. Like, she's been great on Mad Men, she was great on Community, and here she's just kind of, it feels like she's not pulling her weight for this show, and it feels like the character's not pulling her weight for the show.
I feel like for her being the star of the show, there was a lot of lack in her end. Like, I kind of agree with y'all where, you know, it's just, she wasn't pulling her weight or that, even the storyline that she had. I felt like the person who played Debbie Egan,
she was great.
Betty Gilpin, yeah, she was super great. And I felt like she, you know, she was the star of the show. She was the reason why everyone is there.
Yeah.
Like, I paid more attention to her than Alison Brie, which kind of sucked because I also love Alison Brie.
And it just feels like every other storyline that we would get, like, a small glimpse into, like, there's a character played by Brittany Young, I can't remember, but the girl who's from a family of wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
She would have...
Carmen.
Yeah. Like, the few minutes that we got to see of her storyline was fascinating, and I wanted to know more about her, and I wanted to know more about her character. But we had to sideline her for Alison Brie talking about, well, when we were in the theater, we did this, and that's going to inspire you all to fake fight each other.
I don't know. I think all of the side characters got plenty of screen time. I'm looking at the cast list right here, and not one of them didn't have a side plot. I mean, you know what? I lied. The only two that didn't have a side story or any, like, real screen time was the duet twins. The two chicks that were basically, at the end of the day, they were the two grumpy men from the Muppets. Yeah. And they were funny. Like, you know, even though they had their own story, they were still funny enough to be included.
Yes. I just don't think that the main hook of the show, or not the main hook, because the rest, Glow is the main hook, but I don't think the main storyline that propelled it was really that interesting, because every time they focused on, like, the show itself, like, Chris Lowell, fucking Stosh Piznarki from Veronica Mars, playing a...
Veronica Mars, I'm watching you.
Watching fucking Piz, like, be a huge cokehead, like, mama's boy, money man, is... That was worth the price of admission alone, honestly. But whenever it goes back to Ruth's struggles and the things going on in her life and all this, I just didn't care. I wanted her out of the show, like, and I am being harsh on the show because, like, the first two episodes or so, I was stunned at how much I was into it. And that goodwill slowly got chipped away, but I could still see the show that I really liked somewhere in the mist. And it's just a very frustrating feeling, you know?
I guess, man. I mean, I feel like I totally disagree with you, but I don't have any counter arguments to that. It just charmed the fuck out of me. Like, I did it all in one sitting.
Really?
Really. I mean, like, I got up to take a shit once, but I think I took my phone in there with me.
I mean, that's good, because, like, you would get clogged up and you would die. So definitely, definitely be sure to shit.
I think I can go 5 hours without taking a shit, Davey. Thanks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't, but...
I'm just saying, the evidence is there. I wouldn't have died.
It's funny you mention the girl that played, the bigger yeah. one. The one that came from the wrestling family.
Right. Carmen?
Carmen, yeah. Who plays, what's her wrestler name? Because I liked her wrestler name.
Machu Picchu?
Oh, Machu Picchu!
Machu Picchu. That was so fitting. Machu, and like, it was kind of
Machu.
Fun.
Machu!
Yeah.
See, like, one thing I didn't care for is that her storyline, not that it could have been, you said it could have been more interesting or dwelled on to more. Yeah. I just wish that the wrestling aspect had been put into it more.
No,
because
that.
I'm not, like I prefaced, I'm not a big wrestling fan. I'm not a wrestling fan at all. But up until recently, I've come to enjoy what it's worth. Like, it's a when in Rome situation. You're already there. You're already drunk. You already got a beer. Cheer on the guy. You know, fuck it. You know, yeah, he's wearing tights. It's weird. But, like, as a novice, or I'm sorry, as an amateur wrestling entrepreneur, I wish there was a little bit more wrestling aspect. Yeah. Like, there was only one real training scene. And when 90% of the show takes place in the training gym, you would think that there'd be more training scenes.
Yeah.
But usually the scenes in the gym were just like either
them exercising
or montages
or yelling,
or like them fighting. And, you know, so there was one real training scene that involved the Carmen's family and the two main characters, Ruth and Debbie.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. I really wish there was more of that, but I did like it. If it was out entirely, I would drop it a couple points just because it didn't, you know, it's Glow, which is supposed to be about wrestling and there's hardly any wrestling in it. So, you know, they put that in there and it made the quota, you know, the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But it was in there, so I enjoyed it.
One thing that I wish they really kind of worked on a little bit more was the outfits, I guess. I know that there's a huge scene when they go to Piz's or,
His name is Piz, as far as I'm concerned.
His name is Piz. Yeah, they go to his house and everything, and they find a closet full of outfits, but the only one that really came through was the Machu Picchu outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I just really feel like they, you know, they hit the wrong cue with that. I don't know. It just didn't fit very well, I guess. Because, like, one, why does Piz have a giant closet full of costumes that fit women? I mean, I guess that works for all his lady friends, but still.
He's been really heartbroken since Veronica left to go be with Logan, so he's dealing with it in a very weird way.
Dude, Logan is the best. Fuck.
Logan is the best, I agree!
He is! Yes.
Piz was the worst part of, I mean, like,
okay,
not
Piz
the worst,
was
a, but,
he
was,
was
so
fucking
lame
at the beginning of the show.
Oh, he was way better than what's his name?
Duncan. Yeah, no. Duncan was the worst.
Duncan Kane. He used to be my boyfriend. Why? He's a fucking loser.
Duncan was the worst. Logan is the best. Piz is right in the middle.
Okay, fine.
But anyway, I just wish there was more to it, because at the end, you see friggin', who, I think it was the Jenny, the Asian one. I think it was her at the end making the costumes and
yeah,
stuff like
Knives
that.
Yeah, Knives Chow.
Right.
Yeah.
But
like they didn't really like. Oh.
Yeah, that chick.
Holy shit.
That chick was
nice.
Knives
yeah,
Chow,
that wasn't me being racist. That's the actual actress that played Knives Chow in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. Now it's funny because like I heard you talk and I didn't understand you, and then as soon as I said Knives Chow, my memory picked up. That's what you had
said.
Yeah.
thanks. I think.
It didn't look like her, which is funny because all
like
Asians
her.
Look
That's
the same.
So cool,
no, bad TJ.
I did not know that.
I'm Asian. I look like my dad.
He's Asian. But anyway, at the end, like, their costumes were pretty badass during the last scene, but it didn't pick up on that throughout everything else. So it was just kind of like, it didn't follow through from the beginning to the end. Like, all of a sudden they have a closet full of outfits, and we only chose one. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm making your outfits.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't know. I guess I'm just a girl. It's a girl thing. Well, it's a girl wrestling
yeah.
thing. Like, it should be about the freaking outfits, because that's what makes girl wrestling.
Yeah.
Or gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Gorgeous ladies.
Gorgeous.
And they are gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
I really like the cast. I really do. Like, I just...
Her mask was pretty cool. I liked that Melrose chick. I liked her.
See, I liked her the least. Really? But I did like her.
I felt like she belonged there. Like, just 80s slash...
Yeah. I mean, she was the foil for most of them. Like, yeah. They all kind of got along except with her. So she kind of had to be there for...
What about Sheila? How do y'all feel about Sheila, the Shewa?
Oh, I feel like she is your spirit animal.
No, she's not. God, no. Like, I didn't like her at all. Like, I feel bad. I feel bad that I didn't like her. I just felt there was just too much of not, I don't know. It was just too dramatic for what they were looking for. I don't know. When I say dramatic, I mean, like, I wear a wig every day, and I wear my fur, and I have dead squirrels hiding in people's beds, and meat inside of my suitcase.
But, I mean, she has a whole scene where she basically breaks down and explains why she's like that. And, you know, it's not like they just did it just for laughs.
Fully understand it had a point, but that point did not fit anywhere. Like, I understand all the other girls are completely different, but this one bitch, like, she's... carrying a trunk full of meat, man. Like, you need to belong in, like, a psycho ward or something like that. Like, what the fuck?
What doesn't make sense to me is that why Bash and... What's the director's name?
Sam.
Sam? Why Bash and Sam would hire her to begin with.
Because they were... I mean, I know in the beginning they were looking for a different style. So remember how she was like, you need something different, something different. I get it. I fully understand. You're different. But that's kind of, like, taking it beyond to the point. Like, there were, like, the first Miss America girl. She was different. And, like, the Melrose, she was different. And the Chinese girl, she was different, too. But this was just, like, beyond over what they just thought.
I kind of see what you're saying. It kind of reminds me of that.
I will say, with her, it felt like they either needed to, like, either get rid of her, like, turn her into a joke, or flesh her out more. It felt like it was kind of in this middle state where I didn't feel comfortable laughing at her, but I wasn't completely empathizing with her either, you know?
Right. Like, they tried in the beginning, like, oh, we'll just call her Sheila. Yeah. That's it. That's her main intro.
Yeah, like...
Whereas everyone else was like, I'm Machu Picchu and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm just Sheila.
I want there to be more of an extreme on either side because, like, this show... has a, like you guys were saying, or like TJ was saying, like, there's a little bit of wrestling. It's not really a wrestling show, but it's not one of the shows that's about a sport but doesn't have any of the sport. It feels like it's checking off boxes for everything. Like, everything's on par.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was going to be more like the roller skating movie with Juno.
Whip It?
I love that movie. Right? Like, that, I thought it was going to be more like that, where it's focused more on the sport, and it has a little bit of those side stories, whereas this one, it's all side story and not the sport, and I was kind of disappointed in that, but, I mean...
Fuck, why didn't Drew Barrymore direct this show?
Right?
Like, Drew Barrymore directed
Whip It?
Oh, I didn't know
it's awesome. I love Whip It. Thank you for reminding me that Whip It exists.
I know I've seen Whip It, but I don't remember if I liked it or not. I just remember Juno was in it. That's all I remember.
I really loved just the action of it. And I guess that's what I expected when you hear Glow, and then you hear that it's a wrestling movie. Like, I want to see wrestling.
Yeah, it's, like, going back, because I think Whip It's actually a really good comparison. Roller Derby is not exciting, but in that movie, it's really exciting, and it's intense.
Yes.
Wrestling should be exciting, but all the moves, they all feel kind of slow. We've seen them choreograph it out, so there's never really any not necessarily danger, but there's no real tension in the wrestling sequences. So while they're fun to look at points, we've seen too much behind the curtain to appreciate what's going on stage, and it feels like they're just kind of pedaling their wheels, trying to get the wrestling scenes out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
That's fair, because it's kind of like, I don't know if you saw Iron Fist on Netflix.
No.
But it's supposed to be the Kung Fu epic of, you know, the Marvel series.
Right.
And it's like, it's the worst part about the show, is the martial arts aspect of it.
Like, have you ever played that game Ninja?
Yes.
you know, where you, like, slice here and then move here.
And stop.
And stop, yeah. It's basically that when they're doing their choreography.
Yes,
when they move in the waves.
With Iron Fist or in this?
With Iron Fist. With Iron Fist, sorry. So, like, here, it's just when they're doing the wrestling, I'm going to do this move, and then you are going to go under me, and now I am going to go back to this position, and we're done.
Yeah, the wrestling part was the least. It should have been more in it, but for what we got, and you know what, we haven't talked anything about the timing. It is short.
Yes, like
it's 10 episodes. It's only half. Each episode is only a half hour. And you know what? I enjoyed that. It didn't draw it out with fucking bullshit.
I do agree with you there.
It could have like gone into so much more detail about these plot lines that you said out loud you didn't care about, but they're short. Like, and most of them don't even run that long. Like a lot of the drama is an episode arc,
yes,
and doesn't really carry over into the next episode. And I think it's a perfect runtime. It's a perfect show to sit down and have like, oh, we only got like 2 hours until we got bedtime. Oh, let's just watch one or two of these episodes, and you'll come out of them feeling really good. I'm gonna just go into my final thoughts here because I feel like I'm on a okay. roll here. I agree with you in that some of the drama is a little tacked on, and I don't mean some of the stuff that they try to be really dramatic about, namely like the girl
Justine
Britt Aaron Justine, yeah. Yeah, you know, her drama, like, it could have been so much more dramatic, and I'm glad it didn't go that way, and the whole story with the doctor's visit could have been more dramatic, and I'm glad they didn't go that way. But then at the same time, I feel like the drama between Ruth and Debbie is kind of silly. There's a whole episode where Debbie goes and goes to see a wrestling match, and she's like, this is stupid. But then she goes backstage and meets the actor that's the wrestler, and she kind of has an epiphany about it. Like, there's a whole scene where she looks in her face that she's come to the realization that she needs Ruth.
Yeah.
Ruth is her antagonist. She absolutely needs Ruth. And we as the audience pick up on that, and I thought she picked up on that, but the very next episode is the entire episode based on the fact that, oh, I need an antagonist, but it's not going to be the chick that I actually hate. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to work with her. I'm like, but that last episode, I thought that's what the whole point of that last episode was. Anyway, so my point is that it's kind of just, it stumbles a little bit to get to the places where we know it's going to get. Even in the last episode, when it's the finale wrestling show, you've seen this movie before. This series before. You know, with the last big hurrah or the last final fight or you know, some characters aren't going to make it to the show in time. Are they going to make it in time? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know what's going to happen. It's not a surprise. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was just really charming. And I really feel like they had fun making it. I mean, not to brag or anything, but, you know, me and Allison Brie are, like, Facebook friends. Like, I totally, you know, she pokes me and I poke her all the time. We chit-chat all the time.
I don't want to talk about you poking her.
Aww.
You more, like, deflated her. She lost her ass and her boobs. Like, there's nothing left of her right now.
She's nice to my girlfriend.
She's a lovely woman. I bet.
She was so cute in Community. I loved her. She was so adorable. And then she lost all her baby fat, and now it's just a stick. She had no ass, man. She's
lovely and charming, even though I don't think she's wonderful in this program specifically.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was just so charming and happy. And I there's so few that I've watched lately that is just, I came out of smiling. Yeah. So even though that last final hurrah, that last final wrestling show was totally predictable, I still was smiling the entire way through it. And because the sheer fact that I sat down and watched this and binged it all in one sitting is a detriment to me. Like, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. But it doesn't do anything to, like, change the wheel. I don't think this is a show that's going to break any, like, records or set any new boundaries or even be all that meaningful to anyone, really. I can't say this is ever going to be anyone's favorite show, but I really liked it at the end of the day. And so I'm going to give it 8 crank calls that I want to do to both of you.
Please don't.
At 4 in the morning.
At 4 in the morning.
4 in the morning, I'll still be awake. That's not a crank call. That's just me being like, hey, man, what's up? You call me at like, you call me like 10 a.m., that's when I'm going to be pissed.
Leslie?
I agree with, like, it being charming and everything like that. It's just, it was not what I expected. It was super cute. I loved specific actresses yeah. in it.
Actress I.
Nope.
The person, Britt Baron, oh my god, major girl crush right there. Oh my god, yeah. I love her. I love the 80s aspect of it, and I feel like they hit a lot of really good points with it. Because I know when we were watching Sandy Wexler, Dear God, and I was making fun of his outfits yeah. and how like certain things didn't work with the 90s. But yeah, so they had a really good point. Like, I loved the limo scene all the time. Melrose drove the limo yeah. scene.
Yeah, but that wasn't a scene. That's just what she drove.
Like, I know, but that's what she drove. But they always made it, like, why are you driving a limo? And I don't know. I felt that was very 80s, and I loved that. Yeah. I don't know why.
I mean, it felt like Vice City, because you could drive around in a limo. Yes. In that was a video game before your time, Davey.
Way before your time. It's okay.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know. I loved the intro scenes. I loved that. I just wish Alison Brie's character just wasn't so boring.
Sorry, that was just really blunt. I found that really funny. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's funny because you have Alison Brie, who's Unikitty in the Lego yeah. movie. She comes in and steals the show.
Yeah. yeah.
And then so kind of here she's just...
And then in Community, she steals the show there yeah. too in certain episodes. And then now it's just like, just move to the side.
Yeah.
Get Debbie Egan back on. Like, let's hear someone else's story because you, I'm just kind of done with.
Absolutely.
Like, I thought there was going to be a little bit more to it, especially when she, like, called her mom or dad or whoever it was saying, I need $200. Thanks. Love you. Bye. But I don't know. Generally, I just like, I liked how it was shot. I just wish there was more wrestling to it. I'm going to give it... Oh, I loved the catchphrases. Oh my god, that they would just randomly say.
The one-liners.
yeah. I think my favorite thing is, babies are boring, they don't party. From Sam.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10...
Boring babies.
Boring babies, no. 7 out of 10 times that nobody washed their freaking hands after they went to the bathroom. What the fuck?
Oh,
damn. Didn't even notice that. It was the 80s. What you gonna
do? Yeah, I noticed that. It grossed me out, too. I'm a germaphobe, and I'm like, every single time one of these bitches or chick dudes took a piss,
they
immediately go and had a conversation with someone immediately afterwards and are, like, touching hands. And
I didn't notice that, and I'm glad that I didn't, because I don't like that. So wait, I guess it's my turn now.
Yeah.
This, I don't...
I get the last line. Freedom! Sorry.
I don't think this is a bad show by any means. And you were right, TJ, what you said. It is well-paced. It is charming. You leave this show smiling. However, it feels like it's constantly in the middle. It's not enough about wrestling, or it's too much about wrestling. It's not dramatic enough. It's too dramatic, or it's too silly. And the whole show just feels like it's trying to balance between things that it shouldn't need to balance between. It just needs to pick a side and go for it and have a great time doing it. And aside from Alison Brie, I think the rest of the cast is good enough to make this a show that's very much worth watching. Marc Maron is great. Piz is great. All the girls are amazing, except for Alison Brie. It's well shot. It's good to look at.
Where did Alison Brie touch you? What did she do to hurt you so much?
She let me down. She let me down.
Really? Because she got me up.
I mean, if we're going to literally anything else she's done, I would agree with you. And that's the thing. I don't know. Something about this. I was like, I'm not even... like, attracted to you right now. This is just, I'm just so invested in her character leaving the screen at this point. Although, I will say, to be crude, she was naked. If that's your thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You should watch this show. Barely. Because that is...
She was barely naked.
There were boobies all over the place.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the dressing room, too. There are boobies everywhere.
Yeah.
Whose boobies?
I think it was Melrose. I think it was
Melrose. No, it was the chick that was fucking the director.
Yeah, there's her.
Oh, yeah, her, too.
There's...
And Cherry. Her boobs are out, too.
Oh, yeah.
There are several boobies.
There were some boobies,
there is a little bit of well-put-together nudity.
She was 18.
If that's your thing. That's the most diplomatic way I could say that boobs were in it and it was nice. But the show, it just doesn't seem like it comes together, and it feels like it promises more than it delivers. And while it is an entertaining show, and while it is something that I'm not sad that I watched, I feel let down by it, honestly. And that makes me sad, because I was looking forward to the show, but I feel it's fate that after I raved and raved about The Handmaid's Tale that I have to be the dissenting opinion on a show. Mm. And I'm not going to give it a negative rating. It's just, it's in the middle. Because it's in the middle. Or at least what I think in the middle is. I think I'm giving it 6 out of 10 unikitties. Fuck it.
The walls are crying!
Now I want to watch the Lego movie again.
The Lego movie's great.
It's so good.
Speaking of, side story, I know who cares to talk about this, but like, what do you think about Phil Lord and Chris Miller leaving Han Solo?
I'm pissed.
Really? I'm not pissed at all. I'm really happy.
Really?
Because they are such creative geniuses. Like, honestly, like, to me, maybe this is just because I'm not the hugest Star Wars fan. I mean, I like Star Wars enough, but I've never gone to a midnight screening of Star Wars.
They're so much fun.
But, like, I think a bigger feat and a better, like, a better feat.
Yeah.
What?
I like feet. No, I think...
Tarantino?
It's harder... fuck you. I think it's harder for them to, like, say they do 23 Jump Street and it's great. I think them creating the perfect comedy trilogy is way more brag-worthy than them making a good Star Wars movie. It's just so, like, if people are going to see Star Wars, even if it's the worst thing ever, people are going to pretend to like it, no matter what.
For at least, like, 5 years.
Yeah, totally. So the fact that they're off of the new Star Wars movie... Sorry, it's not Star Wars movie, it's a Han Solo...
It's a Star Wars story.
Right, Star Wars story, Han Solo movie. Like, and they can focus on actually being creative and actually having control and doing something that's their own as opposed to being, like... whipped by Mickey Mouse to do the next Star Wars movie.
I'm gonna whoop y'all back because we are talking about Glow.
We already gave our spoilers.
Y'all took this the wrong direction.
One final point on Phil Lord and Chris Miller, then we'll go back to Glow. I will say it sets a disturbing precedent for people who want to work on Star Wars movies in the future. Okay, let's go to spoilers.
Spoilers.
Are there spoilers? I mean, yes. Like, I feel like the only thing.
The Justine story and Sam.
That was done freaking well.
I
didn't see that coming at all. And then when it came out, it made so much sense and was part of the charm.
Yes.
So basically, for adding the charm for the people who we're going to spoil us to, in the beginning, basically, Justine is following the director.
Right.
And everyone thinks, oh, well, she has a crush on him. Oh, she loves him, blah, blah, blah. She's only like this little 18-year-old, right? Turns out, he tries to make out with her and grab her boo.
Right.
And she says, I'm your daughter!
To which I said, ah!
I think all of us did that.
I don't care, daughter or not, I would have grabbed her boob too.
She was so cute.
No, I'm drawing the line of creepy things that you say at that. That's the line. We found the line that can never be crossed again. Unless we decide to review Game of Thrones or some shit, that line is not being crossed again.
And then, like, at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the show.
He's like, I'm not gonna try and fuck you again.
Do you wanna make out?
And he's like,
See? See, that's what I mean. That's what I meant by, like, even the drama had a punchline to it. And it was, you know, at the end it turned out funny. Like you said, the scene in the abortion clinic where he pretends to be her husband. that was funny.
And it was really sweet. Watching those two people talk is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. Because when she's being a whiny bitch and he doesn't have the patience.
Oh, that's not entertaining. But when, like, when they have, like, those real moments, like, it really works.
Yeah, I thought it was super nice in the abortion clinic, just because, like, you, as a woman, like, you get these looks of, like, you know, you are the salt of the earth because you're going into Planned Parenthood, you know, and of course for this stupid receptionist to, like, look at her like, oh, well, you and your boyfriend weren't ready. No, actually, it's my husband. So I thought that was super cute. I like
that. It was nice. And whenever the show did try and make a point about something, specifically about, like, gender, because it's about women wrestlers, it did it really well. There is this great line when it's fucking Liberty Bell. What's her name?
Debbie.
When it's Debbie talking to her husband, and he's talking about the foods they're eating. He goes, yeah, I'm on a diet. And she goes, I've been on a diet since I was 14. And it's just little lines like that are really good. You know?
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, that line really hit me.
The restaurant when she dropped off the kid, right?
I think it was. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember that line really hitting me hard.
He was such a tool bag.
I fucking hated that guy.
He was, ugh.
Like, I know that we already, you know, established that Allison Brie's gone down a couple notches in the looks department, but, like, she was still way out of his league.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was married to the Debbie Egan character, she was definitely out of his
league.
Like,
is he, like, really like, funny or has, like a 3-foot penis? Like, what?
No, he's not. That's the thing. It's like, every scene that he's in, you're like, you just need to go away.
He's kind of a tool.
He is kind of a tool. And even when he's, like, that's another thing. He was kind of paint-by-numbers tool. Like, there was that one scene where it seemed like he was generally trying to get back with his wife and that he still missed her. And then the very next scene when they're at the show, watching the show, he's just so unsupportive. It was kind of like such a 180 flip that, like, you know, I've been that boyfriend trying to make up for something that I did wrong, and you don't suddenly start being an asshole out of nowhere again.
Yeah,
you know better than
right.
that.
It's just, I don't know. The problems with show. That's the most eloquent way I could put that right now. I'm tired.
If there was anything I could take out of the show, it's just that abortion plot line. I mean, like, even though it meant for a good scene, I felt like they could have set that scene up in a different way. Yeah. Like, maybe she just needed to go to the ER or something.
Yeah.
But, like, I just feel like it was a little too tried and true, making her pregnant, and only for an episode.
And it was such unnecessary drama. Like, as soon as they were, like, talking about her periods, and she just kind of looks down, and you go, oh, she's pregnant. Oh, it's Debbie's husband. Oh, they're going to go to an abortion. Oh, like, you could write the episode from there.
Yeah.
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 What other spoilers were there? That's pretty much all you could really spoil.
I think that's it. They're gorgeous, they're ladies, and they wrestled. That's the spoiler.
Off wrestling.
Offren.
What?
Offren.
No.
Off wrestle.
No.
Off wrestle.
Off wrestle.
Well, that was our episode of the Intern.cast show. We reviewed Glow, Duran Duran, Milli Vanilli,
Llama.
Don't Speak. I Know Just What You're just Thinking.
Nobody Speaks.
The Trial of the Pre-Press and
Shimmer Lake.
What was that, Davey? Shimmer Lake. Thank you all for joining us. We will be back next week to review Okja.
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 Which I'm actually looking forward to, because actually, I don't know how I'm looking forward to, because that director is so hit and miss with me.
I want it to be good so bad, and if it's not going to be good, next episode is just going to be an hour of me screaming.
Yes.
So get ready.
Well, thank you for joining us. Davey, where can people find you?
As always, people can find me on Twitter at Davey Peppers, and you can now find me on Instagram at...
Yeah, I started stalking him.
You can find me on Instagram at the Davey Peppers if you want to do that.
Oh, the Davey Peppers. Gotcha.
I feel like I shouldn't follow you right now.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's a fine website. I hate Instagram so much. It's not a problem. And my work is on oneofus.net per usual. What about you guys?
I'm Leslie, and you can find me on Instagram if you really want to and find out how I hate people. What is my Instagram? At LookSoPretty, LookSoPretty.
You can find me on Facebook, Mr. Hooker 711, or Instagram at Oh, I have an Instagram.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I guess you can add me on Instagram. I've never plugged that before, but I don't even know what it is.
I think it's Hooker702, but Hooker with zeros.
It's Hooker spelled with a zero, H-00-K-E-R 702. You can add me on Twitter or follow me on Twitter at TJ Calls Bullshit. And like Mr. Peppers here, you can find my work on oneofus.net, where you should certainly
subscribe the hell out of it.
Disgrace. I just suddenly want to rewatch Lion King 2.
Do it.
Deception. Disgrace. Fuck you guys. Anyway, we will be back next week with Okja. Thank you all very much for joining us, and bye.
Bye.